사랑하는 성도님들,
brothers and sisters, let me begin with an excerpt from a poem entitled My Mother and the Fish Head.
전해드리겠습니다.
Whenever roast fish was served on the table, my mother ate no other parts than its head. I merely thought the head was her favorite part, but only after many years did I realize that it was not. This is a confession of a grown-up man who figured out his mother's consideration for her children. This poem reminded me of the shepherd who sacrificed all of himself on our account. I thought the black noodle was the shepherd's favorite dish. But later, I found out that he also loves to eat red, spicy noodle called jjampong in Korean. There has been goodwill in his choosing the black noodle. The shepherd spared even a few cents so that he could contribute more to the kingdom of God and to charity works. Although we couldn't notice his goodwill before, as we grew in faith, we began to figure it out. Likewise, Father God has his goodwill toward us. If we figure out his goodwill, we'll be able to obey and act in a way closer to his heart. Brothers and sisters, as Psalm chapter 136 verse 1 tells us, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Our Father God is exceedingly good, and his loving kindness is boundless. Today, we'll explore Father God's goodwill embedded in the providence of the human cultivation throughout the history of Manmin and in our lives. Today's message is based on Senior Pastor's previous sermon and his Genesis lecture. First, we can figure out God's goodwill embedded in the history of the human cultivation. God, who existed alone in the beginning, conceived a plan to cultivate man because he wanted to gain his children whom he would share love with. But harboring a plan to cultivate man itself required great sacrifice and anguish of him. It's because from the moment he planned on the human cultivation, he foreknew what would happen in the future. He was aware that the man would disobey and eat from the tree of the knowledge, and that his offspring would increasingly become stained with sins and evil and oppose him. He also knew that to lead them to heaven, he would have to have his only begotten son suffer a miserable death. Despite knowing how much agony he would suffer because of all this, he decided to cultivate human beings. When Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge, God was heartbroken and he was grieved over his descendants drenched in sins and evil. Genesis chapter 6 verse 6 reminds us, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Yet, he didn't intend to destroy all human beings or give up on cultivating man. As said in Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? He's been persevering through all these years cultivating humans. He's willingly borne all kinds of sacrifice to win citizens of heaven and share with them his power, glory, and love. Throughout the history of mankind, the incident in which God's goodness and mercy reached its climax was the crucifixion, as we find in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God had His Son, Jesus, who was totally sinless, killed by the hands of sinners. Out in the world, who would have his or her dear son die in place of a brutal criminal? But that's what Father God did for us. He suffered as if His own body was nailed and torn as He gave up His Son to die for us. Even to this day, He has been patient with numerous souls who don't believe in our Lord's grace and earnestly hopes that even one more soul will be led onto the way of salvation. Remembering such great and amazing love of God, we ought to always praise Him from our heart and testify to His loving grace. Next, we can figure out God's goodwill embedded in His providence for this church, Manmin. To proclaim the works of God the Creator to the whole world in the end time and lead countless souls to salvation, He set up this church, assigned us the duties to evangelize the world and build a grand sanctuary, and has guided us through. God sent people who would help found the church, directly named the church Manmin, and prepared in advance a place and funds for the church opening. According to God's command, "You shall open the church when the sun is scorching," we opened the church on July 25, 1982, and also following His word, "You shall offer the foundation service when all the crops ripen before the first frost," we offered the foundation service. As the church enjoyed revival and revival, we launched GCN, formerly named Manmin TV, and we've grown to a church with over 11,000 branch and associative churches worldwide. Brothers and sisters, now that we have over 11,000 branch and associative churches and have successfully held United Crusades, the world mission and the grand sanctuary seem like an achievable goal. But God gave us such duties in the early days of this church when we had no visible or remarkable fruit. With duties to evangelize the world and build a grand sanctuary, He founded this church in 1982. To achieve these duties, we, as well as our shepherd, have been praying in faith without ceasing. To fulfill the duties, Father God has worked for us in a delicate and generous way every week. Before each service, God kindly notifies Senior Pastor of the content of the sermon along with the Bible passage and revealed profound spiritual words. Moreover, God demonstrated that He is living through marvelous signs and wonders so that we could believe in Him. From the early days of this church, people with cancers or tuberculosis or incurable diseases have been healed by God's power. The blind have come to see, the mute to speak, and the crippled to walk and leap. And many people have received resolution to their problems in their families or places of work. Amidst God's abundant grace, the church has enjoyed rapid growth. Manmin members have circumcised their hearts, obeying the words of God. Of course, it has been always smooth sailing. At times, God let us meet stormy waves. In times of trials, our situation seemed nothing but bleak and hopeless. But even during trials, God demonstrated that He is with us with His ever-increasing power. As a result, Manmin members have kept their faith without wavering and overcome all trials with prayer and fasting. Whenever we conquer trials, God rewarded us with great blessings. He made all things work together for good and granted us blessings we hadn't even imagined before. So the church has made progress in all areas. Most of all, manifestations of God's power have become increasingly great, allowing more people to experience His power. Also, our victories in trials lay the foundations for the domestic and world evangelization. Particularly, starting from 2000, we held pastor seminars and crusades in Uganda, Japan, Pakistan, Kenya, the Philippines, Honduras, etc., all of which ended up a great success, and God heightened Manmin's status in the world. Even when we were like spiritual infants, like with weak faith, God looked at us with expectation. He has nurtured us with motherly care so that our faith can grow mature like it is today. Brothers and sisters, aren't you filled with anticipation for how His words of blessing will be fulfilled in God's goodwill? I'm also filled with anticipation. Especially through this time of blessing, Manmin members will come forth as spiritual warriors, and God's kingdom will be accomplished more greatly. Until the day we fulfill our all duties and His words of promise, God will be with us in His goodwill. As Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8 reminds us, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory He has sent me against the nations which plunder you, for He touches you, touches the apple of His eye. He will protect us like the apple of His eye." Brothers and sisters, lastly, we can figure out God's goodwill embedded in our own lives. As we find in Psalm chapter 139, verse 16, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, yet there was not one of them." Even before we were conceived, God had His own loving plan for each one of us, knowing that we would be part of Manmin, fulfilling the world mission in the end time. He must have watched over us with more delicate love and guided us through. Enduring for so many days, He's led each one of us to the way of salvation and to this blessed church. Even while we complained and grumbled during trials, not comprehending God's will, Father God has been patient with us. For those who didn't believe even after seeing His power, God showed them even greater power so that they could have faith anyhow. Even when we committed sins after hearing the words of life, God waited for us to change, enduring anguish and grief. While other people accused or condemned us for our shortcomings, God expected us to change with faith in us and extended His forgiveness to us again and again. Thanks to His goodwill for us, you and I are together in this time of blessing. Brothers and sisters, in addition to the blessings of salvation, you've been witnessing God's power. What great blessing this is! Let's say a great historic event takes place. If you were right at that historic scene and witnessed all the process, it would be really interesting. For example, how would you have felt if you had walked through the Red Sea when it was parted by Moses? Also, what great blessing it must have been if you had seen the resurrected Lord like Mary Magdalene or other disciples did. Even when you are reported on a specific incident in great detail, without seeing it yourself, you can't have the same feelings like those who've actually seen it. By the way, we've been part of historic scenes that equal or even surpass the biblical incidents. You've seen signs, wonders, and extraordinary works in the Bible on numerous occasions. And you will witness how God will be glorified through this church until our Lord's coming. Even though we've sometimes gone through trials and persecutions along the way, our names will be honored and remembered in heaven forevermore. Also in heaven, we'll take great pride in having been part of Mame's precious ministry along with the shepherd during our lives on earth. Thus, I challenge you to overcome this time of blessing with more thanksgiving, keeping in mind Father God's goodwill. Brothers and sisters, so far we've explored God's goodwill embedded in the human cultivation, the history of Manmin, and our own lives. Then, what do we have to do to follow His goodwill? From now on, let's delve into the life of Isaac from the Bible. First, we have to place complete faith and trust in God. We find in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. To avoid the famine, Isaac made his way to Gerar, located in Negev." From verse 2 onward, God appeared to Isaac and told him not to go down to Egypt and promised that he would bless him if he stayed in Gerar. God assured him that he would give him many descendants and lands, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by his descendants. It's because Abraham obeyed him and kept his commandments, statutes, and laws. In speaking to Isaac, God made the same promise he made to Abraham. It's important to receive the words of promise from God, but it's more important to receive them by faith. Receiving them by faith is possible when we place trust in God. Then, how was Isaac's trust in God? As we find from verse 6 onward, Isaac placed trust in God and believed His words. Even in the face of the famine, he stayed in Gerar, only trusting God's word. But there, Isaac underwent a trial because of his wife, Rebekah. Verse 7 says, "When the man of the place asked about his wife, he said, 'She is my sister,' for he was afraid to say 'my wife,' thinking the man of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful." He was in a situation similar to Abraham's, where he called his wife his sister for fear that he would get harmed. Although Abraham did so by involving his own fleshly thoughts, it all turned out to be blessings. Abraham was given an opportunity to break his fleshly thoughts and made his existence known to people in the region. This was the case with Isaac as well. Although Isaac also called his wife his sister, he didn't suffer a situation like that of Abraham, in which he had his wife taken away by notifying King Abimelech that Isaac and Rebekah were a husband and a wife. God prevented any bad or undesirable thing from happening. As we read in verse 11, "So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, 'He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.' Abimelech ensured their safety." Going through this process, Isaac realized that he briefly involved his fleshly thoughts and that he failed to rely on God completely. At the same time, he realized deep in his heart that the only one who would protect him and guide him was God. God put Isaac in that situation to give him such an awakening. For this reason, even though Isaac didn't go through a situation where his wife was taken away, God worked simply by moving the king's heart. Although Isaac stayed in Gerar, trusting God, we cannot say his trust in God was 100%. If Isaac had entirely trusted God, he would have believed God. He would protect his wife as well as himself. but Isaac ended up involving fleshly thoughts. So God led Isaac to develop complete trust in Him. In the same way, if we put complete trust in God, we can experience His works and guidance. So I urge all of you not to look at the physical reality or environment, but seek out God's goodwill, having trust in Him. In following God's goodwill, second, we obey. To reap abundant fruits, once we commit things to God, it's crucial that we obey. True obedience is obeying what seems impossible to obey. If we understand what kind of place Gerar was, we can all agree that dwelling and farming in the land was never easy without faith. We read in Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 through 14, "Now Isaac sold in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich, and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy, or he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household. Although Isaac had escaped from the famine, he soon became rich." The Bible reminds us that Isaac became rich because of God's blessing. Even if men involve all their wisdom and make every effort, it is God who allows them to reap. So without God's help, it is impossible to enjoy blessings like Isaac did. Of course, it is the law of nature that we reap what we've sown. So even unbelievers can reap as much as they've sown and made efforts. But it's impossible for them to reap a hundredfold, as was the case with Isaac. Furthermore, without God's protection, they fail to reap even what they've sown, as they unexpectedly meet natural disasters, etc. Therefore, Isaac's having reaped a hundredfold demonstrates how he was guaranteed and protected by God. As we find in Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, "And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Reaping a hundredfold is the blessing of the highest level. And Isaac received a hundredfold from God. Then, what was his secret to such blessings? It was his obedience that stemmed from his trust in God. The region where Isaac dwelled was located on the Negev Desert, which had alluvial soil. With a little amount of rain, the land provides high-quality soil, but when a lot of rain falls at once, the land becomes useless. But Isaac faithfully trusted God's words and sowed a lot. Seeing his obedience, God sent an appropriate amount of rain, allowing him to reap a hundredfold. Yet, in Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, we find the fundamental reason that Isaac was greatly blessed. God says, "Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws." Here, God makes it clear that the reason he blesses Isaac was because of Abraham. As said in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, "A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him." Because Abraham was a righteous man who loved God and kept his commandments, God's favor continued in his son Isaac's generation. What kind of obedience did Abraham show before God? Briefly, let's talk about how he conducted himself on Mount Moriah. God commanded Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, "Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." How do you think Abraham felt at the time? Rather than mourning and lamenting, he immediately obeyed with thanksgiving. He prepared split wood for a burnt offering and set out. When he arrived near Mount Moriah, he left his two servants and went up the mountain with Isaac. Because his servants were men of flesh, they would have kept their master from offering Isaac as a burnt offering. If Abraham had notified Sarah of this, she would have hindered him as well. That's why he departed early in the morning without consulting with his wife. Abraham believed in the faithful and almighty God who keeps his word and revives even a dead person. Abraham reached the place of which God told him, built an altar, and took a knife. But even after Isaac noticed that he would be offered as a burnt offering, he obediently followed his father's will without resisting at all. It was because he believed in God and in his father Abraham. Having seen Abraham always following God's will, Isaac had the assurance that what his father did was in accordance with God's will. Although God knew that Abraham had faith strong enough to make himself the father of faith, God confirmed his faith through a test so that the enemy devil could bring no accusation. After Abraham passed the test with perfect faith and obedience, God had him took a ram instead of his son and offer it as a burnt offering. Seeing his father's faith and obedience, Isaac could become a person of obedience. As we can see, obedience is the greatest secret to blessing. Some of you may think like, if I received the same kind of words like Abraham and Isaac did, I would obey as well. But what's more important than receiving such words is trusting and obeying them, obeying the words. At the time Abraham received from God the words of great and marvelous blessings, his words didn't seem like a possibility in terms of reality, yet he obeyed in faith. Because he obeyed in faith, things were created out of nothing. It's not that whoever receives the words of promise can have them fulfilled unconditionally. There's no doubt the words proclaimed in God's providence are fulfilled without fail. But if the person who received the words doesn't obey, the words won't be accomplished by him, but by another individual prepared by God. If Abraham had disobeyed God's word and failed to be qualified to become the father of faith, would God's providence have become invalid? Of course, God foreknew how Abraham would conduct himself and set him up as the father of faith. But even if Abraham hadn't obeyed, knowing all this, God would have prepared another person, thereby making his providence fulfilled in the end. Thus, even if we receive words of promise, we shouldn't think they will be fulfilled unconditionally. If we fail to show obedience necessary to fulfill the words, they could turn into nothing. As for Abraham, because he had complete faith in God's promises and showed perfect obedience, blessings continued through his son's generation. But this doesn't mean that Isaac was blessed without doing anything on his part. Isaac himself also showed deeds of obedience. Then, how could Isaac obey the words of God and keep his laws and commandments? Was it just because he was born with a good heart filled? Of course, he might have inherited a good heart filled from his father Abraham, but most of all, Isaac had an unquestionable role model in faith, which is Abraham. Having Abraham, the father of faith, as his physical father, from early on, Isaac could learn what faith is, what obedience is, and how to keep God's laws and commandments in a detailed manner. Growing up like this, Isaac solidified the foundation of faith, and based on that foundation, he made hard efforts on his own and obeyed the words of God. Therefore, in our Christian life, it matters whom we look up to as a role model. In any group or organization, the faith of its leader is important, whether in a family, a cell group, a district, or perish. The leader has to set good examples in faith. Only then, his or her members can take after him or her and lead an upright life of faith. But it's not to say that you should only look to a specific person in your life of faith. It's hard to find a perfect person. So if you only look to a person in your life of faith, you may fall into temptations from the relationship with that person. For this reason, to look upon a person as your role model definitely has to be done in the truth. Just as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Our perfect role model in faith is our Lord. But as the father of faith, Abraham also had perfect faith, acknowledged by God. So, seeing his life of faith, his son Isaac was able to lay the foundation of faith and achieve growth of faith. Brothers and sisters, we have our shepherd who's all... We have our beloved shepherd who's only obeyed and acted according to Father God's words. Taking after the faith of our shepherd, we ought to vigorously march on in faith without ceasing. He has always set a good example in serving the souls for the last 36 years, and seeing his examples, and we can change ourselves, and we come forth as the fruit of change. And now, in October, I know of a person who registered in our church in January, and he confesses that he was led to this church by someone, but just by seeing our shepherd, and just by seeing how he deals with his church members, he began to have complete trust in him. It's been only like 8 or 7 months since he registered in our church, but seeing the shepherd just once, he noticed how faithful our shepherd was. But what about people who've registered in our church 5 or 10 years? And we know that how truthful he is, having been in this church 5 or 10 or 15 years. And we've been So according to the examples he has shown, we have to obey and follow them, thereby bringing joy to our Father God. I urge all of you to lead such a life. In following God's good will, third, we are united as one in peace. In order to reap what we've sown in faith, we need to wait in perseverance. Even in times of rain or storms, we have to endure for the time of harvest. In bearing all this, the most important thing is to keep peace. When it comes to God's work, just accomplishing one or two tasks in peace is better than accomplishing 10 with broken peace, because the enemy devil brings accusations when peace is broken. As God blessed Isaac, he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. From verse 14 onward, the Philistines envied him and messed up the wells which had been dug from the days of Abraham. It was as good as declaring a war against him. King Abimelech told Isaac to leave because he'd become too powerful. Isaac obediently left the land, settled in the valley of Gerar, and again dug wells. But he continued to face trouble. The herdsmen of Gerar claimed the ownership of the wells and demanded that they be given to them. Subsequently, Isaac dug another well, As quarrels arose again, he gave it up too. Among worldly people are those who fight not to suffer even a few dollars loss, and that way of living is considered smart. But it's different from God's point of view. On the outside, it looked like Isaac stepped back and ran away, but he didn't do so out of fear, but to follow God's will. Figuring out God's good will, he didn't contend with them. Instead, he yielded to them and pursued peace. Moved by Isaac, who overcame evil with goodness, God blessed him. He yielded to the herdsman because he thought there must be God's good will. As we find in verse 22, as he reached Reboth, he realized that everything has been a trial permitted by God to give him a vast land, and then he confessed, "We will be fruitful in the land." Because he conquered the trial wholly in goodness, he was able to receive marvelous blessings, so even the enemy devil couldn't bring any accusation against this. Genesis chapter 26 verses 14 through 16 say, "So that the Philistines envied him, now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up, and by filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are too powerful for us.'" As the Philistines saw a foreigner who moved into their land, blessed in such a marvelous way, they got jealous. Their jealousy finally came out in action. They messed up the wells which had been dug from the days of Abraham. They filled them with the earth. Although the wells were located on their land, because they were dug by Isaac's father Abraham, technically, we can say Isaac had the ownership of these wells. Yet, the Philistines acted so rudely against Isaac by filling the wells with earth. On top of that, King Abimelech, who once proclaimed, "He who touches the man or his wife shall surely be put to death," told him to go away from them because he became even more powerful than the locals. This indicates how wonderfully Isaac was blessed and how great his riches and authority were. In addition to the riches, honor, authority inherited from his father Abraham, Isaac himself received blessings from God. Consequently, he became rich and powerful even while dwelling in a foreign land. Although Isaac had become powerful and rich, he didn't argue or complain against the Philistines for their amassing up his wealth. Even though he'd become powerful to the point where even King Abimelech was afraid of him, yet he had no intention to exercise his power and get even with those who caused him damage. Upon the king's request, he departed from the land and settled in the valley of Gerar, and there he again dug wells that were once dug in the days of Abraham. Thereafter, the herdsmen of Gerar came to quarrel with Isaac, insisting on the ownership of the wells. The wells were formerly dug by his father Abraham, but until Isaac dug them again, they had been filled with earth and abandoned. So to speak, the herdsmen of the region couldn't use them until Isaac came and dug them again. But as Isaac restored the wells for use, they came and claimed the ownership of them. As quarrels arose over wells, Isaac gave them up and dug another one, which again led to quarrels. What would you do in that situation? Isaac was a man of power and authority that even made King Abimelech fearful. Not only was he a rich man, but he had a lot of servants in his household. So, he could have wielded his power and confronted these people to protect the wells. But Isaac didn't do so. Instead, he moved from place to place, yielding three times. From such deeds, we can ascertain that what kind of faith he had. Isaac learned from the faith of Abraham, who said, "If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Isaac went further than just keeping the father's deeds in mind. He put them into practice in real life. He was willing to yield and pursue peace even at the cost of sacrificing himself. He also wanted to serve all people. After departing from his relatives and his father's house, Abraham settled in the foreign land. Yet, he got along with the inhabitants and lived at peace with them. Even though he grew strong in power, he didn't disregard them while exalting himself. He was always ready to serve people around him. And Isaac followed his father's deeds of faith. This is a way of goodness and the path God's people have to walk. Brothers and sisters, because worldly people only look at the benefits at hand, in a situation where they could benefit or suffer loss, they seek their benefits anyhow rather than pursuing goodness. In turn, they involve all kinds of wicked ways exercising their power and authority. But God tells us in Romans chapter 12, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He also urges us in Romans 12, 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. From a physical point of view, it looks like Isaac stepped back and ran away, but he didn't do so out of fear, but to follow God's will. If we deal with evildoers with evil, God cannot work for us. So we have to get things done on our own. But if we follow good ways, God works for us, leading us to a great victory. This was the case with Isaac. As he pursued goodness to the end, God rewarded him with blessings. So, reflecting on Isaac's life of faith, we have to examine ourselves. Sometimes we may find ourselves in a bleak or hopeless situation in a physical point of view. But even so, we have to seek out God's will. In doing so, we can overcome our situations in faith. I pray that all of you, Mamim members, will ponder over God's goodwill in all affairs. Let me sum up today's message. So far, we've talked about God's goodwill. We've delved into His goodwill embedded in the human cultivation throughout the history of Manmin and in our own lives. And then, we looked over the life of Isaac and talked about what we ought to do to follow God's goodwill. First, we ought to have complete faith and trust. Second, we have to obey. Third, we have to be united as one in peace. Brothers and sisters, how thankful have you been in your lives? David confesses in Psalm chapter 40, verse 5, many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. This is the kind of confessions we have to offer. God has manifested numerous miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives. How many His thoughts toward us are, and how great His providence is. Realizing these things, we cannot but be thankful. Who do you think is happier between two persons? The one who has a lot of thanksgiving and the other who doesn't? No doubt, it is the person who gives thanks a lot. The secret to being such a person is to change into truth and become God's child who figures out His heart. The more we figure out the Father's heart, the more we can understand His goodwill and love. And in turn, we overflow with thanksgiving. Those who are thankful believe that Father God gives us what is the best. In other words, they believe Father God's heart is goodness and love itself. Indeed, Father God provides us what is best in our lives. I'm sure you felt such goodness and love of the Father, just as parents express their love for their children. Father God always demonstrates His goodness and love abounding in His heart. When people are immature in faith, they might not believe that God gives them what is best, especially when they find themselves in trials, contrary to their expectations. But even in such moments, those who believe in Father God's goodwill still believe that God is their Father who gives them what is best and gives thanks to Him. As a result, we receive blessings. Thus, I challenge all of you to always figure out Father God's goodwill in your lives, offer thanks, and be victorious in your lives.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.